We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time for Bonte.
Let's just put the rat on the table, goof.
Steiny.
The thought, I die alone, I laugh the loudest today.
Yeah!
And Guru.
Hell yeah! So I go, who paid for me? She goes, sir, it's free when you're over 44.
On 95.7, The Game.
Good morning to everybody out there on this beautiful Tuesday here in the Bay Area. Daryl the Guru Johnson. We're here. We've been here over the last week. But, Goo, we got our main man back. He's back from his golf tournament. He's back from beating Dan Dibley. He's back after giving away his 7-iron, which looked a little soft, but it looks like the 7-iron didn't even matter. Matt Steinmetz is back in the building. Matt Steinmetz, welcome back, man.
What's up, gents? How you doing?
Cannot complain.
The question is, Steiny, yeah, how are you doing and how did you do? Is your chest out? Could you sound chipper like Jones?
I'm dynamite, Goo, you know. Recharged the old batteries, had a good weekend of golf, a lot of fun. Everything on the up and up, good, clean fun, if you know what I mean. And I'm excited. You know what? I'll tell you what. I'll be honest with you. So before I left for my trip, I was kind of ambivalent about sports coming back and doubting whether they would, especially baseball or basketball. I'll tell you what, I got back, started catching up on Sunday and Monday, and I'm not quite tingling, but I am excited. I'm excited that we're getting close. We're getting close to being able to watch baseball games. We're getting close to being able to watch NBA games. And while they're not going to be perfect, and not everybody's going to be as gung-ho as maybe the three of us, I do feel like I'm looking forward to sports more than I ever have before. And, you know, Guru, before the show, you said, you know, we took sports for granted. And you're absolutely right. We did. We took it for granted so much that we couldn't even imagine a world without sports. And then we saw it. And I'm excited. I really am excited. And to think that maybe in a week or so, 10 days, we're going to actually be talking about games.
Well, yeah, Kyle excited, said guys. Six. We got. I know who else is excited. Bonte Hill. Six games. We get a preseason game, I believe. That's like a regular season for me. Just let me see it.
Exhibition baseball starting next week at the Oakland Coliseum on Monday. Exhibition baseball, A's and Giants, and then they'll play one at Oracle Park next Tuesday. And I'm just wondering what happened to the real Matt Steinmetz. I mean, geez, Guru,
like
excited. Maybe he needs to go on vacation every month.
He finished in seventh place. It was originally – you can elaborate later, Steiny, but I saw Dib say you actually finished seventh, not ninth, and we were kind of giving you props for finishing ninth, and Iron Gate worked out for you. But how did you not know you were two spots higher?
It was simple. I just emailed the tournament director and said, where did I finish? And he just put nine. Needless to say, he just made a mistake. And I was finished in a tie for seventh. Tie for seventh. There were about 36, 38 people who played.
Bonte, he was old. He was hitting.
Hey, we've come a long way.
We've
come a long way since South Carolina, man. I got to tell you. And you know what? He wasn't lying. He said, Matt Steinmetz said his game was in a good place. He said his golf game was trending up. And look at him.
He was confident.
He's dusting Dan Dibley there, despite giving him the 7 hours. So we'll hear more about that a little bit later. Can't wait to hear about Matt Steinmetz's weekend. Steiny, I know you're up there golfing when the news broke about Buster Posey opting out of the 2020 season. Just want to get your quick thoughts on that, because, look, this is a new leaf with the Giants. It's a new chapter in Giants baseball, and we've got to get reacclimated to the manager. We've got to reintroduce ourselves to Gabe Kapler, who's going to be managing the Giants after two average baseball seasons in Philadelphia. We'll ask Howard Eskin, who's a Philadelphia king, a Philadelphia kingpin. He knows about Gabe Kapler. He'll join us in about 25 minutes here on BSNG. But just your quick thoughts on Buster Posey before we talk about the manager, Gabe Kapler.
I mean, how do you really question it? You know, they're adopting young twins. It just makes sense. You know, it's just the thing that I think of is, man, I get it. He might not be in his prime anymore, but, you know, because of the pandemic and all, we lose a year of Buster Posey. You know, we lost, you know, in a way we were a little bit lucky, I guess, that Clay was hurt this year. But, you know, we basically lost a year of Curry. We lost a year of Draymond. And so I get that. I get why he's doing it. And I'm not going to criticize him at all. But, man, I was just looking at the Giants lineup. It looks really weird without Posey in it. That's the one thing that I noticed. Without Posey in the lineup, just doesn't seem like the Giants in a way.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Steiny. Oh, go ahead, Monty. I'm sorry.
I was
just going to say, Steiny, you weren't with us, obviously, but when I heard the news and why he wasn't playing, I got to tell you, that morning I thought he was going to announce that he – and I felt like he felt like, you know, he was just tired. He couldn't do it anymore. The squat with the hip, and it was the exact opposite. And real quick here, I heard Steph Curry with Barkley, you know, just talking about what's going on in the world today. And I was headed to bed, and I was like, let me just hear Steph's answer. And who am I to judge any answer? But I listened to what Steph said. And damn it, fellas, it was so profound. And you could just tell he was a good dude. It's real. Ray's right. And it's the same feeling I had when I heard Posey talk about, we think we know what's going on, Steiny and Bonte, and we don't. And the fact that, you know, they adopted two beautiful young girls, and they were born premature, and they're rich per se, or you think they got everything going, but they would take somebody else into their home to add to their family, to give them a better life, Steiny and Bonte. I'm like, who is walking this great earth that could have a problem with him staying home because of the protection of his family? I guess what I'm saying is, it put Posey in another bracket for me, just on a personal level.
Well, you know what? You start thinking about the two leaders of our franchises that won titles within the last 10 years. And you talk about Posey and Steph Curry. I mean, how lucky has the Bay Area been with those two guys? I mean, not one. Honest to goodness, has there been one, what do I want to say, one controversial moment, one mistake, one, you know, one thing where they didn't display class? I mean, you didn't just get great players. You got incredible, incredible people here in the Bay that are leading their teams, man.
There's no doubt Steph Curry, Buster Posey in the league of their own, and we'll see Posey. And what? Look, let's be honest, fellas. 2021 could be the last year Buster Posey has replaced for the San Francisco Giants. He's making $21.4 million, and there's an opt-out. The Giants have a club option, $3 million buyout for Buster Posey in 2022. And a lot of these guys, you know, Brandon Belt he's going to be a free agent in 2022. Crawford, 2022, unrestricted free agent. So it's going to be a bit weird without Buster Posey this year for 60 games. We'll see him back at spring training. But, boy, Gabe Kapler already, you know, he was already a controversial hire. We know he managed the Phillies, career record with the Phillies, 161-163. We know what happened in February 2015 when he was cited as shielding and mishandling the details of multiple sexual assaults committed by players in the Dodgers organization. He's already a quirky dude. We've heard from multiple people how quirky he is. Just Gabe Kapler now feels like he gets the ultimate pass this season, but I also think he gets a pass for next year. I don't think Gabe Kapler, in Farhad's eyes, Farhad Zaidi, will be evaluated until after the 2021 season. Honestly, like 60 games, how can you really be critical of Gabe Kapler in a 60-game season when you don't have Buster Posey? You have Hunter Pence in this lineup, Evan Longoria, Wilmer Flores, you got Yaz. I mean, Gabe Kapler, we thought, you know, man, could his seat be hot before the season? Could it be hot for 2020? Now I don't even think it's lukewarm, fellas.
Well, the one thing I think that this pandemic has done is it's given people a different perspective. You know, it's funny because we talk about, you know, when are we going to get back to normal? And you know what? I don't know that we're ever going to get back to normal. I don't know that it's ever going to be the same as it was. And I think because of that, and I don't want to use the word, you know, fortunate, or because that's preposterous, but I'm just more open to Gabe Kapler. You know what I'm saying? I'm just thinking about Gabe Kapler, thinking, okay, we got we got the press conference out of the way, and in fairness to him, I thought he stepped up. He in terms of, you know, people make mistakes, we know that. He said, all right, he said everything he needed to say. Okay, so now let's go out and play baseball. But I do think, like, this isn't a great team. And I feel like, and this is where we ended it. I feel like the Jackals have gone away a little bit with
Kapler. There was a Jackal.
And rightfully so. Let's just see what happens this year with Kapler and the Giants, and we'll move on. You know, but that press conference was a nightmare. But it feels like it was 10 years ago. So now it's over, or you know, the press conference is done. We're in the middle of this pandemic. It's just like, all right, let's just play. Let's just play and see what happens. You know, I don't need to get into Kapler's going to use six relief pitchers right now, or you know, is Dubon going to play second or short, or is he going to play some outfield? Let's just play. Let's play and see what happens.
You know what, fellas? I almost want to say he's playing with house money, but I'm not 100% vested in that statement, but the fact that it's only 60 games, so there's 100, you know, games knocked off the slate to where he just can't mess it up. And there's not one person that's picking the Giants to compete in 60 games. That doesn't mean they can't. And if it's just not an S show, you know what word I wanted to use there, I think he gets off. And the fact that Posey, to me, if his production wasn't there and maybe Gabe would have to deal with, you know, Bonte dropping Buster in the lineup, and maybe that was the right thing to do, but the fans don't like it, maybe he would have to deal with that blowback. That's not going to happen. That's gone. The face of the franchise is not going to play during these 2 months. And I'll say this, as far as the Heat, I think that press conference and how he was drugged, because he was drugged. Articles were written. We talked about him. People called in and let loose on him. I'm just starting to wonder, like Stoney mentioned, the pandemic, if that's the most heat he'll face during this 2 months baseball season, Bonte. Even if they go 35, you know, the fact that they didn't look a mess may give him a pass.
Well, yeah, Go ahead,
I was just going to say.
No, I was just going to.
Let's not forget. I mean, the bottom line, I think we can all agree on this, is the shorter a season is, the shorter a playoff series is, the shorter amount of time between the start and the finish of a season, it benefits teams that are long shots. It's more likely that the Giants go 30-30 than it is they go 81-81. And so we laughed a lot about the 2 months they put it together last year, and I said that was 2 months in 3 years. Yeah. But you know what? They put together 2 months of overachieving baseball starting a week from today, and we might be watching playoff baseball. I mean, you can get hot for a couple months. The Giants proved that.
You can. I don't know if they will with this team. Kevin Gausman.
I mean,
they're playing 10 games against the Dodgers, 10 against the D-backs, 10 against the Rockies, 10 against the Padres, they're playing the Angels. Yeah, I don't know about that, but they can get hot. But how will they respond to Gabe Kapler? Now, we go back to that introductory press conference, and we all were like, whoa, for 40 minutes, he was just on the defensive. I mean, there was – I don't know if there was a single baseball question asked to Gabe Kapler in the first 35 minutes of that presser. And the Giants, a month before that, had put out some fillers on social media. You know, hey, what do you guys feel about Gabe Kapler? The fan base was just irate. Do not hire this guy. Do not hire this guy. But they hired him. And now I think not only is Gabe Kapler, I'm not going to say he's on a hot seat, or I don't even think his seat is lukewarm. I think he's going to get an ultimate pass this year and next year, because next year it'll be all about getting rid of the contracts of Brandon Belt and Crawford and LaGoria and Cueto. And Justin Marsh is going to be gone probably after this season. It's going to be about shedding payroll and getting the young guys ready to go, like Luciano and Joey Bart and Ramos. So I think the first 2 years of Gabe Kapler is going to be a pass. And especially the 60-game season, nobody expects the Giants to do much. You don't have Buster Posey. Farhad Zaidi and Gabe Kapler basically have, I think, 3 years now. 3 years to turn this thing around. And Gabe Kapler now, with the 60-game season, next season, I think he has that buffer to really turn things around for him personally and in the eyes of the fan base, in the eyes of fans all across the world when it comes to baseball. Because, look, there's still people questioning the methods of Gabe Kapler.
I mean, you're absolutely right. The other thing is, I mean, if we had gone right into the season and there's no coronavirus, I'm not saying Kapler would have been on the hot seat from day one. That's ridiculous.
Right.
But
right,
kind of all eyes would have been on Kapler from day one,
no
at
doubt.
Least.
And no doubt.
I think the scrutiny just won't – just having baseball back will lessen the hardcore baseball scrutiny, if you will. And so I do think no matter what the Giants do this year, and this might go for every team in baseball, it's like a wash. You know, it's almost like Kapler will make his – let's say the Giants go 20-40, and next year we come back and we're as normal as possible – it's basically going to be like Kapler's first year next year, I think.
Right.
And because here's the other thing. The Giants know that they're a long shot, a long, long, long shot. Well, if you know you're a long shot, it's a long season. If you start 10-23, you start 10-23, the whole season's going to be a season of practice games, essentially. You know you're not going to be competing. And so over the course of those 5 or 6 months, that's when negativity starts setting in. That's when you see patterns, maybe. That's when you get more critical. 60 games? Hell, we're just going to be barely getting to know what kind of manager he is after 60 games.
Yeah, and Bonte, I can say what Gabe started out with in his Giant tenure, that story. I won't call it a scandal, but if you did, I wouldn't get mad at you. I mean, it was heavy. It was intense. It was real. And I got to believe now that the dust has settled. And, Steiner, you are right. This pandemic, it just has me thinking different. And you talk about taking sports for granted. I'm just wondering now, when these players go out and perform and try to do their best, you know what? We got the L, but at the end of the day, nobody came down with COVID. We got to play. We got to finish the game. I mean, everything you think you cherish more. But I'm thinking back to when Farhan hired Kapler. Bonte, I was thinking, okay, the pressure's on. Nothing worse in baseball than when you're losing during 162 and it's repetitive day in, day out. All the articles are written. Now I'm starting to think maybe he did have a 3-year pass to where before I'll judge you, knowing, okay, you got some fossils out there in the infield. We got some work to do. This is Farhan talking. I got some work to do to supply you with something to where I can judge you on. Now I'm just like, yeah, like Steiner said, these 60 games, it's almost house money. If you compete, good.
Right.
But if you don't, you still got next year and the year after before I really bring the hammer down on you. And I didn't think that way before the pandemic.
No doubt. And here's the thing, too, that, you know, last year was all about Bruce Bochy, right? The farewell tour for Bruce Bochy. And, you know, the Giants, whether or not they're going to go for it at the deadline, they don't trade a bad bum. And I think that was the right decision because I think the value was down. But just looking at Farhan for a second here. Farhan now gets a pass for his first two seasons as the president of baseball operations for the Giants. You think about that. last year, it's all about Bochy, right? It's all about getting Bochy out and celebrating Bruce Bochy. It's his last year as manager. Farhan's kind of got his hands tied. You had the Larry Bear situation there kind of overshadowing everything. And now you get a 60-game season to where it's like, damn, all right, first 2 years on the clock for Farhan. He's really not, you know, he's really not feeling any heat. I think next year the clock starts for not only Gabe Kapler, but it also starts for Farhan Zaidi. And what they do with these contracts here is going to say a lot. And then player development, because apparently Gabe Kapler, you know, in 2014, of course, he was hired as a Dodgers director of player development. He changed the whole diets when it came to the minor league affiliates and the major league. They went all organic or whatnot. But Gabe Kapler apparently is a good communicator and a good evaluator of talent. So that's where the Giants are at right now. They got to evaluate these youngsters on who could come in and usher in the next era of Giants baseball. So, yes, this is an ultimate pass for not only Gabe Kapler, but also Farhan Zaidi, fellas.
Yeah, I'm looking at the text line here. Being from the 510, no chance with the Giants, Steiny. Don't kid yourself. And listen, I'm not disagreeing with that. But if we were a week away from a 162-game season and you guys were saying, hey, you never know, I'd be like, you guys, stop, stop. But the bottom line with 60 games is you don't know. You just don't. One team in your division has a big injury. Somebody surprises for the Giants and comes out of nowhere. You just don't know. Now the bad side of that is, you know, you start 2-11, you're done. I get that, but you know,
might even bring you some heat, Steiny. You're 2-11.
But wait a minute, right. You start 2-11 in a 162 game schedule. That might even be worse.
Well, yeah.
Because then you know you're in for 6 months. Six months of it, you know?
Hey, real quick, Stoddy, you big gossip. We missed you. But I got a good analogy I think you both may like, and I probably just messed it up by preferencing that. But what you just said, 60 games, Stoddy, it's like an NBA team. The coach saying, hey, fellas, we don't got to beat them in four quarters. We just got to beat them by halftime. I mean,
exactly.
That makes the job easier, Vontae. And Stoddy, two quarters as opposed to four. I like it.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, I wonder how Gabe Kapler is going to navigate this clubhouse. I really do, because without Buster Posey, who was the captain, of course, of the squad, he's not there anymore. And we were talking about this yesterday, starting when Shasky was in. Who is now the leader of the clubhouse? And all three of us had different answers. I think, Guru, you went with Guru.
I was with you. I went with Gabe. I was with you.
Oh, I didn't go with Gabe. I went with Hunter Pitts.
Okay, I went with Gabe. You don't have a star.
Shasky, yeah. Right. Shasky, I think, went with Brandon Crawford, Guru with Gabe Kapler. And that's the thing. How will the players respond to a guy like Gabe Kapler, especially the veterans, the LaGorias, the Brendan Belts, the Brandon Crawfords? How will he navigate this season? Or will he even get a chance to manage? Because everybody always talks about Farhan Zaidi comes from the school of Billy Beane, working with the Oakland A's, and they manage from the suites and not the clubhouse. I just wonder how he's going to operate in a 60-game season, or will he just kind of sit back and kind of play it cool? I'm really eager to see how Gabe Kapler navigates his clubhouse this season.
Yeah, well, I think he's smart enough to not alienate the important players on the team, which to me are still Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford. I'm going to throw Longoria in there. I'm going to put Pablo in there, Cueto in there.
Right.
As long as those guys are going to pretty much play every day, you would think. So I think they'll be fine. And if you look at those guys, they're all great guys too. They're former champions. They're not going to run. They know they're not the favorite to win the division.
Right.
So they just have to be. They have to have as good a year as they possibly can, and they got to try to be leaders in the clubhouse because the team makeup is a little bit different because there aren't as many veteran players as there have been in the past.
Now, real quick, it's interesting you say that because under Bochy's watch, I don't even think he had a clubhouse issue ever that got out. And you guys are right. They do got some good guys. So, Vontae, I wanted to ask you real quick, what does that look like How do we define or determine how he's commanding the clubhouse? Because to me, if things get out from the players that we know have been good players and respect authority, if we start hearing stories by anonymous players, then I think to me that signifies like, okay,
right,
Kapler's already off to a bad start. If we start hearing things like that leak out as opposed to, you know, under Bochy, it was just tight lips.
Well, right, that's why I'm looking forward. Yeah, that's why I'm looking forward to talking to Howard Eskin on the other side, because he'll be able to give us some insight on how together the Phillies clubhouse was with him.
Here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fix Auto, as Steiny just alluded to. Howard Eskin, Sports Radio 94 WIP, a Philly sports radio legend, also the sideline reporter for the Philadelphia Eagles. He'll join us coming up to talk about Gabe Kapler. We'll also get to a little Deshaun Jackson and what's going on there in Philadelphia with that, as well as Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons out in Orlando for the NBA bubble. That's all sponsored by Fix Auto. A traffic accident can be a real headache, so let Fix Auto Collision Centers help. Fix Auto has locations throughout the Bay Area. Call 1-800-INFO-FIX to find a location nearest you. Fix Auto, the first words that should come to mind after an accident.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Don't forget to download the radio.com app. It truly is one of the best out there in the world. Search 95.7 The Game and add it to your favorites. Don't miss a second, whether you're at home, in your car, or at work. And use the rewind feature to catch any moments you missed from the last 24 hours, including Joe Fan and Sean Manaea yesterday right here on BSNG. Sean Manaea was really good. Ooh. Starting pitcher for the Oakland A's. You could also tell your smart speaker, hey Alexa or hey Google, play 95.7 The Game. Howard Eskin from 94 WIP in Philadelphia. He will join us in moments here. Also a sideline reporter for the Philadelphia Eagles as we get into Gabe Kapler. Just revisiting. Oh, we have Howard Eskin. Howard Eskin joins us here live from Philadelphia. Of course, he is a Philadelphia legend. That's what they tell us, Howard. You're like the mayor out there when it comes to sports talk radio. Thanks for joining us again here in the Bay Area. Bonte Hill, Matt Steinman, Stereo to Guru Johnson. And we're talking some baseball here. Gabe Kapler. We're about to reintroduce ourselves to Gabe Kapler. Howard, what are we getting into with Gabe Kapler?
Well, let me just first tell you, I'm bigger than the mayor here. The mayor is a bozo, but other than that, you find a lot of those guys around the country. But what can I tell you about Gabe Kapler? Well, where do I start? All right, I'm going to start with some nice things. And the nice thing is that he's I think he really is a good guy. He's a good guy. And he cares, but as a manager, unless he's learned something or he gets rid of his computer and all his nonsense statistics, and somebody asked him about XFIT. It's the most bogus, ridiculous thing I've ever heard when he started rolling out there that one time. You guys don't even know what XFIP, and the people that I'm sure are listening have no idea what XFIP is.
What is it?
Do you know what XFIP is?
No.
No.
Okay.
Let us know.
You can be a relief pitcher. I mean, the Phillies had blew three games in a row one time, and it was the bullpen that blew it up. But they didn't give up any home runs. It's basically, it's a pitcher, assuming there's no defense in the field, there's nobody out in the field. It's ridiculous. Okay, if you don't give up a home run and you don't walk anybody and you can give up five runs in two innings, your XFIP will improve. You like that? You like that analogy? I said, Gabe, wait a minute. I said, our XFIP is third in the National League. I said, what the hell is XFIP? So he has a little rundown of it. What the hell is XFIP? So he just tells me how they're third in the National League. I said, Gabe, I just saw your bullpen blow three leads in 3 days. And you're going to tell me it got better? It's just the most ridiculous thing in the world. He is so locked in to his computer. If you took away his computer, as probably 80% of the general managers in baseball, if you took away their computers, they wouldn't know what to do, because they can't tell you if a player is good or bad just by watching the guy. They have to look at their computer. So if he gets away from that and he's not with, with all these numbers and this pitcher is good against this pitcher, it just, you know, there were situations. He wouldn't walk Freddie Freeman, who, one of the best hitters and clutch hitters in the National League, with first base open. So he ended up knocking in two runs because the stats said that Freddie Freeman, in the situation he was in, was not good. Well, why do you want to put him in that? So to answer your question, I'm trying to be nice because the guy is a good guy, and I got along with Gabe. We had our disagreements, and we had some serious disagreements publicly, but the reality is he lives on the computer rather than on the feel for the game. If you use both, I'm okay. So he's an interesting guy, but I don't know that he's, unless he's learned a lot, I don't know if he's a good manager.
Well, the Giants GM is Farhan Zaidi, used to work under Billy Beane. The stereotype or the perception of him is he's an analytics guy, and already out here before Kapler's managed one game, Howard, most people are thinking that the GM's going to set the lineup and the GM's going to make some decisions. So how do you think anything would change in that situation?
Well, I don't think the GM set the lineup or the GM made those decisions. What I do believe is, when and Matt Klentak, the general manager of the Phillies, was the same way. He hired Gabe Kapler. Chaim Bloom was interviewed at the same time as Matt Klentak. And yet the Phillies chose Matt Klentak, and Chaim Bloom is brilliant. Look what he did with Tampa. But Matt Klentak loved Gabe Kapler basically because he threw out all those analytics numbers. Gabe is well prepared when it comes to those kind of things. And your guy out there sounds like it's the same way. They all live on the same page, so they're going to come up with the same lineups. Did they discuss players? I'm sure they do. I can't believe. But Gabe would let them do it. If that's going to be the case, then it is a complete joke. But they live in the same world, this cyberspace world of nonsense. Analytics has ruined and continues to ruin the game of baseball. All you care about is home runs and walks. If you strike out, no problem. Now, why would you want to move a runner? I talked to Pete Rose last week, who obviously understands the game. And we were talking about you could get the first two guys on, then not get a base hit and score a run in the previous world of baseball, just by hitting behind the runners. Where now, all guys try to do is hit home runs and walk. And it's just not the same. And Gabe Kapler lives in that world. I wouldn't be surprised if we let the general manager make the lineup out. But Gabe's thinking along the same lines. Again, I feel compassion for him because of his kindness. And he is a kind guy. I think he's too soft on players. I think he wants to kind of be their friend. And good managers can be both friendly to them, but you got to have a sense of discipline. And where do you hear his news conferences? You probably already heard him, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
The introductory presser was all about what he did with the Dodgers in 2015. I don't think he got a single baseball question, Howard, in the first 35 minutes of his introductory press conference back in November.
Well, yeah, because of what happened with the Dodgers with the guy that's there. You know, there was cover-up there, allegedly a cover-up there, and he's going to have to live with that. But in San Francisco, it's a different mentality. I don't think they're going to put up with the news conferences. He's got to be honest once in a while. He would tell you how hard. I think back to these times, 15-inning game, and he's trying to tell me every guy was on the top step of the dugout, and they were so into the game. You know what? They just wanted to get the hell out of there. Really, they just wanted to get there. They wanted to win the game. Everybody wants to win the game. But don't tell me how mentally tough your players are when you see the players not do the right things. when you see them make mistakes fundamentally, when you see them run at the wrong times. But he's defensive of his players because he's just, I guess, worried that they're bail out on, which other managers do. But he's got to have a better feel for the game. Now, what I don't understand, he played in the league, what, 12 years? Now, yeah. He wasn't a great player, but he was good enough to be around for 12 years. So he should have a better feel for the game. He will be, and after a while, you're going to get tired of his post-game news conferences. I mean, those pregame things you have, I was in it every day. And I would challenge him on some things, but he always had an answer. He maybe didn't say anything. He talked a lot, but didn't say anything. But he always had some kind of an answer. I really feel bad here, and this is not like me, because I'll criticize a guy as much as the next guy, maybe more than the next guy. I'll criticize a guy, and I'll bury him. I feel compassion for Gabe because he's kind of locked in this world that he can't get out of. It's just, I wish him the best, but he's got no chance out there. He's got no chance. He's following Bruce Bochy. He's following how many World Series? What do you have? 3 World Series championships under Bochy. He's following a World Series. He's got no shot. But he's got till next year now because of the season that we're in right, or the season that we will be in right now. He is different. You'll get so tired and you'll start laughing at his news conferences after a game. You will start laughing. But I wish him the best. I wish him the best because I know he's a good guy. I just know he's a good guy. But as a manager, no, he's not a good manager.
Now, Howard, we appreciate your honesty. Now, that's the Gabe Kapler over 162 games. Nothing will humble you faster than 162, but 60 games. We were just talking. Do you think we could get? He could just have an outer body experience and be the best manager for 60 games? Do you give him that, Howard?
Well, what did he say earlier in somewhere in camp or before camp? We got to play every game like it's the World Series. You know, come on, Gabe. It's really important. I said that. I heard it. Got to play every game like, no, stop. I don't need it. I wouldn't need it that fast. I'd have some fun out there with him. I'd have some fun because I already know what's coming, and I would just challenge him every day. And I would challenge him in a news conference, and he'd stare at me, and then but he'd always have an answer. Again, he didn't say anything most of the time that and really answered the question. But 60 games, the good thing is, and I don't think they've changed this rule, you can't change a pitcher unless he's pitched to 3 batters. I don't think they changed that rule. You have to pitch to at least 3 batters. Otherwise, he's going to have, 16 guys in the bullpen? Or 16 pitchers, not guys. He's going to have 16 pitchers. So he'll have plenty in the bullpen. But you got to leave him in there for 3 batters. Otherwise, it would be a joke. It would be a joke the way he would change pitchers. A joke. And it's all based on analytics. And now he's got to wait 3 batters. So he's got to dig a little bit deeper. I'm telling you, I would have fun. I would have fun out there just playing. Wow. You're not going to win. Let's put it
You're getting us fired.
The Giants aren't going to win. And we know they're not. And you guys know they're not going to win.
You never know, Howard. 60 games.
No, they're not winning. We know that.
You know that. Buster Posey, he's not the same player, but still, you're missing him. You're not the same team. You know, you're not going to win. You got no chance, especially in that division. You got zero chance of winning the division. Zero. I'm with Gabe Kapler. The X-fip that I have on Gabe Kapler for winning the division is not very good. All right. I love you, Gabe. Hey, Gabe, if you're listening, I love you. But.
Howard asking here on BSG on 95.7 The Game Sports Radio 94 WIP, of course, the sideline reporter for the Philadelphia Eagles. Howard, you know, I wanted to ask you about Gabe and the players. You know, he goes 80-82 in 2018. Last year, you guys have a bunch of expectations with the addition of Bryce Harper, Reese Hoskins. You got Franco, you got McCutcheon. I know he got hurt, but you guys finish an even 500. How do the players respond to Gabe Kapler? What do the players think of Gabe Kapler when they're walking around that clubhouse and he's trying to make everything organic and he's talking about ice cream and this and that? How do the players feel and respond to Gabe Kapler, Howard?
Don't let me forget to tell you about the ice cream story. You've heard about the ice cream story, right?
Yeah, we have.
We've heard multiple cream stories.
He told us in a pregame thing he didn't really spit out the ice cream. That's false. Well, I believe he did spit out the ice cream. So again, it's too many calories. Likes the taste, but it's too many calories. But nonetheless, the players like him. They like comfort. Today's players, for the most part, like comfort. It's not like the old days. You got to be tough, you know, and be tough on me because that means you're tough on everybody. And that means we'll do a lot of the things that we're supposed to do, but he's not tough. He put out a curveball machine out there one day. They had trouble hitting the curveball. Well, when you swing, when you worry about launch angle, think of it. I've talked to many baseball people. It's very difficult to hit a breaking ball when you're worried about launch angle because you can't hit the ball as well rather than swing through it. So, but anyway, he put a curveball machine out there. People came in and talked to Bryce Harper that day after batting practice. He says, "Did you work on the curveball machine?" And he looked at us and he said, "Curveball machine." He says, I didn't even get up there to hit against that curveball," and just kind of shook his head and laughed because Gabe put a curveball machine out there to pitch to the players. So those are the kind of things, but they were comfortable. Let's put it this way. They didn't dislike him, but they liked the comfort level because they knew even if they did something wrong, it would be rare that he would bench them. It would be rare that he disciplined them in any way. But he's again, if he's learned, he's got to learn from those things. And he's got to learn, you're going to get fired. You're going to get fired if they don't play. And if you don't push them to do the right things, you're going to get fired sooner. But maybe he just doesn't worry about that. That they were comfortable with him. And so to answer that question, they were comfortable with Gabe Kapler. Did they like him? You know, if you consider comfort a like, because he kind of let them do what they wanted to do. And that's who he is. But I just it'd be interesting. Man, we're going to follow those games so well here, but we're going to get the sound from your post-game news conferences. And I guarantee if at least 4 days a week, we're going to play something from it because you can't get enough of Gabe Kapler. We have a vault full of Gabe Kapler stuff that we still play because it's so hilarious. It is so hilarious.
Hey, Howard, let me ask you about a little bit about the Sixers, obviously in the bubble. I saw yesterday Brett Brown may move Ben Simmons to four. The Sixers have any more or less of a chance with this scenario?
I don't think so. I just think they only have 3 weeks to practice this new lineup. So you haven't played with this lineup basically at all. No, I think it's Brett Brown, again, a nice guy, but he just says so much BS. About a week and a half ago, he's talking about players and, hey, how's Joel? You know, because everybody worries about Joel Embiid's weight. How's Joel? Oh, he's working so hard. I'm really impressed with him. He's working hard. So then Joel speaks a week later. Hey, Joel, how's your weight? Well, he wouldn't answer the question. And then you ask him again, and he says, my body fat's really good, but all I'm doing is I'm sitting at home. I'm chilling and playing video games. Completely opposite of what Brett Brown said. So he talked about how great Ben Simmons is handling this. The one thing Ben Simmons likes is now he won't have to take a 15-foot jump shot, which he wouldn't do anyway. He was like 30% from 3 to 10 feet. I mean, that's a true number. Last year, or the beginning of this season, 32%, let me get it correct, from 3 to 10 feet, 32%, because he can't shoot a jumper, won't shoot a jumper. So they put him at power forward, so he really doesn't have to do that, and he's the fastest guy on the floor in the NBA. Well, I would beg to differ that he's the fastest guy. He's one of the fastest, but he builds him up trying to stroke him and trying to make him feel good because he knows his dad. He's trying to get Ben to play for him and play. He plays hard, but he doesn't do the things the coach asked. I don't think it's going to have much of an effect, although what it will do, the guard position, you'll have shooters. Where the good thing about Ben Simmons, and I will say this, and this is really a good thing, he taught us socially distancing by the way he played, because a defender was 6 feet away from him every time they guarded him.
Pretty good stuff, Howard.
Howard, you probably had
to go with that. We already knew about socially distancing with Ben Simmons.
Hey, Howard, I got to ask you.
Change anything.
Howard, I need your help, man. It's a pretty heavy question. I don't got to tell you what's going on in the country with, you know, social unrest, you being in Philadelphia, in every city in the States. But I want to ask you about DeSean Jackson. And I know what he said was wrong. It was offensive to the Jewish community. You had Steven Jackson hone in on it. He made it worse.
Steven Jackson is a complete dope and moron. To say, I don't know who Hitler is, and I don't give a bleep. What do you mean you don't know? What's the matter? You don't know how to use Google? You can go on your phone and put out all this other garbage? But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and he had made some progress, but you're not too far off the mark. But I got to ask you this. I'm black, Howard, and I had a friend of mine ask me just the other night, and I didn't have an answer. They said, okay, what's the difference? And I know there are different scenarios with Riley Cooper and how he got the contract after what he did at the concert and how he offended black people, and this incident with D-Jax to where they did, you know, kind of reprimand him. Where do you come out on how they treated Jackson, and is it fair to bring up Riley Cooper?
Well, I'll answer the last part of that first. I don't think it's fair to bring up Riley Cooper. Different time. We didn't have all this social unrest back then. They're both indefensible. You can't even begin to start how indefensible they are. In the new contract, it wasn't immediately right after that. They suspended him. They disciplined him. That's why they couldn't cut DeSean Jackson. But it was a different time. And, again, let me make it clear. They're both indefensible. But Riley Cooper didn't put that out intentionally to the public. DeSean Jackson put it out intentionally to the public. He had three apologies. And then the third one, which he didn't even write, but that's all right. He put his name to it. And then he made a mistake when a guy told him he was right to voice his opinion, and then he liked that post the next day. So I think it's different times. Again, both of them, totally indefensible. But I will say this, and again, I'm not defending anything that Riley Cooper did in that situation. He had a teammate, Michael Vick, who was the leader of the team because he was the quarterback. And I was standing there at that news conference and defend Riley Cooper because he didn't believe he was that kind of guy. Did you hear any Eagles players defend DeSean Jackson? Malik Jackson said he respected Farrakhan, which is another asinine, stupid comment or post, in which he took down the post. So, but there was no defense. And then Malcolm Jenkins goes through this. Malcolm Jenkins is an idiot for saying Jews are not our problem and we're not their problem. Wait a minute, we're in this together. We're in this together. So it was a compounding of problems. But I don't like it, and people in Philadelphia do the same thing you're doing, comparing Riley Cooper to DeSean Jackson. Indefensible for both. But Riley Cooper didn't put that out publicly, and he was wasted. Doesn't take away from what he did. He was at a concert. He was wasted. Doesn't take away. I won't defend Riley Cooper. Not a little. And please don't assume what I'm doing is defending him. But it's a different time, and I think really two different, because of the timing of both, two different situations. So neither one of them are. And that's not the real issue. The real issue is DeSean's got to understand how offensive what he did it what he did was, and had to clean it up multiple times. And that's what we just have to understand. You know, obviously I'm white and I'm Jewish, but I just think, well, what are you doing? I'm not offended because I'm a Jewish person. I'm offended because he was stupid. I don't think he's anti-Semitic. I just think Deshaun, and I got along with Deshaun since he's come into the league. It's just stupid. But we are in this together. You, my brother, and I'm your brother. And we want to be in this thing together. And that's why we can't start looking at other things that try to make some kind of rationale for what's happened. Deshaun Jackson didn't get cut, and the owner's Jewish, and he had a tough time. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. But it's okay. He got fined. Hopefully he understands. But let's be in this thing together. I mean, that's what we got to do, and not look at other things. Well, this guy did this and that guy did this. Let's move forward rather than backward, understanding what's been behind this. That's kind of the way I look at it. And that's what I tweeted at Malcolm Jenkins, and he didn't say anything back to me, which I know he saw it, that we are all in this, not just we shouldn't separate one side from the other, because you should understand other people's pain, and I understand the African-American or black man or colored man. I don't know. Some people use different phrases, whatever it is. I understand it, and I'm sensitive to the issue, and that's what we all have to be. Is that an explanation? I don't know if that yes. answered your question.
Hey, give Howard, before we let you go, give the Giants fans what would be – give the Giants fans some optimism for this year with Gabe Kapler at the helm.
It'll be a laugh fest after each news conference. You won't win. You're not going to win anything, but at least you'll have some humor while you're not winning. So it'll be a laugh fest. Is that some uplifting stuff for Giants fans?
Absolutely.
Gabe's a nice guy, and I'll say this. He's a philanthropic guy. And I'm not going to do it this year because I can't believe we're going to have it. There's a bike ride for autism for the Eagles.
Yeah.
In 2 years, I've raised close to $300,000. I don't know how I did it. Mike Trout donated $2,700 because of his number. I did it every year. And I know Mike because he grew up in the area, and I know his family. Kobe Bryant, $2,408 for the may he rest in peace, for his two numbers. But it was just people. And I did all those things, but Gabe also made a very sizable donation to my bike ride. And that's a good guy. He didn't have to do it. As I said, hey, right. Gabe, you know, I mean, he knew about it. Yeah, just get a hold of my, I don't know if it was his PR person. And sure enough, he donated both years. He donated wow. both years. So as far as that, and I said, I want to auction off an item. Since you spit out your ice cream, I don't spit it out. I said, since you spit out your ice cream, can we do an ice cream party with people and I'll have an auction and ice cream with Gabe Kapler. Watch him spit it out. And he said, yeah, I'd be happy to do it. So, you know, it's just so ask him about ice cream. And it's just
hey, Howard, man, this was a lot of fun, man. We'll definitely laugh at Gabe Kapler because we don't have the Warriors going to the bubble, so we'll need something to laugh about in the month of August before football gets cranking up. And by the way, football season, if we do have one, I know the Eagles are coming out here to the Bay Area, I believe week 4 or 5, so we'd love to have you back on once you come back to the Bay.
Well, here's,
and the Eagles and Niners
thing,
play.
Baseball announcers are not traveling. I wonder if the football announcers will be traveling. And I'd love to come out there. I'm friends with the very good friends with their PR guy. I'm friendly with John Lynch, who I think is a terrific guy and a wonderful, I mean, terrific general manager. I am so impressed with what he's done, just jumping right out. And from, you know, he's a football guy, but done a really good job. So I like the 49ers. I'm still mad at Kyle Shanahan for screwing up Matt Ryan's Super Bowl. But nonetheless, because Matt Ryan is from this area and I'm friends with Matt's family and Matt, and that was his Super Bowl until Kyle Shanahan went crazy trying to call plays when you had the game won. But other than that, I just, it's a wonderful area, and I like it, and I like a lot of the people out there. And I, Gabe, hey, Gabe, I really love you, Gabe. I really love you. But.
Hey, Howard, we could talk all day about Shanahan and that Super Bowl, because I beg to differ. I never seen a coordinator get so much blame for a Super Bowl loss, and we just skip over the head coach who's a defensive mind.
All right, and
but that's for another conversation, Howard. We got to run.
You're on the 21. Just take the field goal, okay? Just take the field goal.
Howard Eskin, thanks so much, man. We got to do this again soon. Have a good one, man, and stay safe.
Stay safe. Everybody stay safe.
Howard Eskin, Sports Radio 94 WIP, Philly Sports Radio legend here on 95.7 The Game. We got to run. Matt Steinman, Dirty Guru Johnson, Bonte Hill. We'll react to that and dive deeper into Gabe Kapler. Plus your phone calls at 888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570. We want to hear what you think about Gabe Kapler entering his first season as a manager of the San Francisco Giants. And it'll be brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.